Don't you just love the fall? The fall is my favorite season. Growing up in Indiana, I had lots of fun memories of the fall. Beautiful colors and the leaves changing. The crunch of the leaves when you walk around, raking and jumping in the pile of leaves. The chilly weather and even possibly the first snow. Hot cider, bonfires, hay rides, oh yeah, and the pumpkins. Pumpkin seeds, pumpkin bread, pumpkin pie, yummy. When my family lived in Nicaragua, we did not get to experience the fall due to it not getting cold and the leaves not changing. So we are enjoying the start of fall now. But my favorite thing about the fall is it's football season. Now I know technically football season starts in the summer, and there's some games that are still played in the winter, but the whole season of fall is full of football. Now I'm not referring to the sport where the ball is being kicked around, which around the world is called football or football. But I am referring to the American version of this sport. It's football, and that is what I really enjoy in the fall. Now, Friday night, we had a homecoming here at Fisher, and if you guys were there, you got to enjoy a game-winning touchdown with 13 seconds to go. And that was pretty exciting. I was there, and it was chilly fall weather, but we got to enjoy seeing the Fisher Bunnies win the game. And that touchdown was a pass, and it was caught. And today we're going to be looking at what Paul received and passed on. We've been looking at the book of Colossians in the last few weeks, and this book was written by Paul, and he wrote it while he was in jail in Rome, and about 30 years after Christ was on earth. So we have seen that the gospel flourishes when we faithfully pray, when we demonstrate love, and when we are transformed by God's grace, that spiritual wisdom drives kingdom living, that the hope of the gospel is in the preexistent, supreme, and reconciling Savior, who is before all, over all, and with all. And last week in Colossians 1, 24 through 2, verse 5, the effective gospel ministry endures suffering while striving for growth in unity. And like Paul proclaimed the mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory, we can display the hope of glory to those around us. Like Paul toiled for spiritual maturity, we can strive to help others grow. And while Paul sought to encourage and unify, we can also aim for spiritual unity. And as Mark said, today is World Communion Sunday, and it's a day that Christians gather around the world, and they are celebrating and remembering the Lord's sacrifice for us. Communion is a way that we can come together to remember and embrace God's gift of salvation to us. It's not something that we started, but it's something that we received. Communion is also known as the Lord's Supper, and it's what Christ gave us. And today we're going to be exploring a few different passages about receiving, where Paul talks about receiving. In each of these, we're going to see that when we internalize God's gift, it supernaturally multiplies to others. And that's our main idea today, that when we internalize God's gift, it supernaturally multiplies to others. So we're going to see that in some different verses today. But before we jump into reading those verses, let us turn to God in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for keeping your word alive to us today, and that it is something that we can learn and grow from, And thank God that you are speaking through your word. And so, Lord, I just pray that today as we celebrate communion and as we turn to the scriptures, God, that you would be showing us what your truth is, not just for us, but for all Christians, and how we can learn and you can speak to each of us to know how to understand and to obey your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to start today by looking at the book of Philippians. Now, Philippians is the book just right before Colossians, and it was also a letter that Paul wrote to a church while he was in jail. So in Philippians, the last part of Philippians in chapter 4, verse 9 is what we're going to be looking at today, or this first part. And I encourage you to open to that. And Philippians is a book that's primarily about the joy of Christ. Okay, so in Philippians 4, verse 9, it says this. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So here's Paul is talking about what they have received from him. And this word receive, we're going to be looking at in each of these verses. Receive is a Greek word, and each time it is the word that's paralambano. And this word is kind of broken in two. The word para, the first part of it, is it can be translated with or from or besides. And the second part of the word, lambano, means take or grasp or receive. So put these two together and you kind of get the idea of with taking or with grasping, kind of the idea of receiving something. And so in this verse, in Philippians 4:9, Paul gave them a gift and they were to receive it. And Paul isn't specifically talking here about communion, but you can think about this principle in today as we celebrate communion. And so one thing that communion teaches us today from this verse is that first, we need to take what you receive. Paul said, what you receive from me, put into practice. Now, why are we to do these things? Because the God of peace will be with you, he says. So we need to put it into practice, to do what it says. Do what he says. And not only were they receiving this from Paul, but they also learned from Paul, and they heard from Paul, and they saw what he did. And some of the things in the verse right before that, so what were the things that they saw? They saw whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent. If there's anything that's worthy of praise, Paul said, think about these things. That's in verse 8. So think about these things. And whatever you have learned, whatever you've received from Paul, he says, put into practice. Do what he said. Do them. So if you saw Paul do it, then do it. And I know as simple as that sounds, like, okay, do what he said. Do what you saw him do. Practice what you saw. I know many times when I'm watching a football game, I see that there's a player that's wide open, and it should be an easy catch and probably run for 15, 20, 30 yards, maybe even score a touchdown. But sometimes what happens is the player drops the ball. When you're about ready to catch a football, the first thing that you should be thinking about doing is focusing on catching the ball. Now, they tell you in football to form a triangle and don't let the ball hit your body, because if it does, it's going to be hard to catch. But to catch the ball, it takes some focus. And sometimes when a player drops the ball, it's a lot of times it's because the player is not focusing on actually making the catch. They're focused on, oh, I'm so wide open, I'm going to catch this. Now I'm going to avoid that block, that tackler. I'm going to try to score a touchdown. I'm trying to think about all these things. But what we need to do and what the players need to do is to focus on making that catch first. Because if you don't make the catch, what happens? It doesn't matter what you do after that because the ball is on the ground. Or maybe the ball hits you in the head or in the hands and it flies way up in the air and the other team catches it. And that's an interception. So focus on catching the ball is the first thing we need to remember, is to take what Paul said and do it. And so Paul was a member of a church. He was a leader, and he was also a mentor. And we need to remember that when he said to receive these things, receive them, we need to go ahead and take what we received and put those things into practice. Maybe you found that you've been focused on other things. Maybe you've been focused on living out your faith so much that you haven't slowed down to actually take in and receive the gift that God gives us. If that's you, I encourage you to take what you receive and focus on what you receive and put those things into practice. The next place we're going to look is in Colossians 2. So first, communion teaches us that we're going to take what we receive and put into practice. And secondly, we're going to look and see what Colossians 2, verses 6 through 8 say. So Colossians 2, 6 through 8 say this. So then, just as you received Christ as Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith that you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition, the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. The Net Bible notes that here Paul is affirming the tradition that was delivered to the Colossians by Epaphras, and that it was a Christ-centered and focused on Jesus as Lord. And we can see clearly in these verses right here, there's two imperatives that Paul says. He says first, a command, he says, live your lives in Christ. This means walk in Him. And Paul's not making a suggestion here. He's saying do it. Now maybe we think, how are we supposed to do this, Paul? How are we supposed to live our lives in Him, in Christ? Well, he answers the question. He tells us right there. He says to be rooted and built up in Christ, to be strengthened in the faith that you were taught, and with overflowing with thankfulness. So those are the ways that we need to do that. And the second command that Paul gives here is he pretty much tells the Colossian church to not be fooled. He says, see that no one takes you captive. This is like saying, another way of translating it is, take heed to the deception. Don't be fooled. This was actually something that they were dealing with. This is one of the main reasons he wrote this letter to them. Some people were starting to be fooled and being deceived by these elemental spiritual forces rather than Christ. So they were learning Christ plus a whole bunch of things is what we need to do. The human tradition says this and that, so that's probably what we should do. No, those are deceptive things. And so we don't say Christ plus things, we say Christ, in Christ alone. So the next thing that communion teaches us is to embrace whom you have received. Embrace whom you have received. And since we've received Jesus as Lord, we need to embrace him. When we don't live in him, when we don't embrace him, that's how we become deceived. Now, another thing that football has taught me, I played football when I was in high school, so I really like football. Another thing that football has taught me is when you catch the ball, so that's the first part, we take the ball and catch it, and then when you get the ball, you need to embrace it. That means you need to hold tight. Now, if you just start running with the ball like this, one-handed, that looks kind of foolish. Why? Because you could easily drop the ball, or you could easily have someone punch the ball out, and that's a fumble. Because when you run with the ball, you need to hold tightly to the ball. And they taught me in football, make sure, and I was not a running back or receiver, but I just heard this. because they said this a lot, the football coaches. They said, make sure that both noses of the ball are protected. So if you're just holding the ball like this, you're protecting only the back nose here. But make sure you cover this front part of the ball, and then make sure the back part of the ball is right there in your armpit. And then you can run with the ball still like this, but the problem is if you're not holding it tight, someone could still punch it and knock it out. So embrace whom we've received. We've received Jesus as our Lord. Embrace him. Hold on to the ball tightly. Hold on to Christ tightly. Use both hands. Okay? People want to deceive us. People want to pry at us. They want to have our faith be destroyed. They want to deceive us because we do have an enemy in this world, and he's looking to kill, steal, and destroy. So embrace whom you've received as Jesus our Lord. So in opposition to your faith, when you're in opposition, how do you respond? When people are trying to pry that ball away from you, hold tightly, embrace Jesus as Lord, the gift that you've received. So the first thing that we learn from communion is to take what you've received and put it into practice. The next thing is to embrace whom you've received and hold on to Christ and don't let others deceive you. And then we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 to see what else communion teaches us. So turn there with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to start at verse 23. So Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." One of my professors at Denver Seminary, Dr. Craig Blomberg, wrote in a book a commentary about this verse. He said, "Receive and pass on," in verse 23, "reflects standard terminology for the transmission of oral tradition. So when Paul says he received this information from the Lord, we must not think of some kind of direct revelation. Rather, he's referring to that which the Lord Jesus spoke while he was alive. Words of remembering by the disciples and widely repeated and perhaps memorized by the early Christian community." So Paul is saying what he received, he passes on to us. He passed on to the Corinthians. And what he received from the Lord? He received that Christ's body was broken. He received that the covenant of Jesus and by his blood. And also he received that we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now, in football, the quarterback's job is sometimes to run with the ball, but mostly the quarterback's job is to make sure the ball gets to the person that's going to get the most yards. So usually the quarterback will come in the back when he gets the snap from the center, and he looks to see who he can pass it to. Now, if he just holds onto the ball for a long time, most likely, unless he has the most amazing offensive line ever, most likely he's going to be sacked and taken to the ground, and it's going to be a negative play, and it's going to be bad. But if he is looking to find who to throw it to and pass it well with time, passing it, then that will be the best chance of a completed pass. And so our job is to pass on to others what we receive. And so that's the third thing for today, is to pass on what we receive. So Paul passed this on. He looked for every opportunity in his life to pass on the good news of Jesus, to pass it on to others. And so that should be our goal too. If we just hold the ball too long and just hang on to it, most likely we're going to get taken down. But we need to pass it on to others. We need to work together and pass it on to others. And I wonder if there's times in your life that you feel like you've been sacked because you held on to the ball too long. Maybe you blame your offensive line, whatever those are in your life. But maybe you're supposed to just be passing the ball on. That's what Paul did, and that's what he wants us to do too. Whatever he receives, he passes on to others. So the first thing that communion teaches us is to take what we receive. The second thing is to embrace what we receive. Hold on to Christ and don't let anyone deceive you. And finally, to pass on what we receive. That on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took thanks and he held the bread and the cup. And he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So firstly, we see that when we take what we receive, that's something that Paul was giving us. When we embrace what we receive, we see it's something that God is giving us. And when we pass on what we receive, we pass that gift, God's gift, on to others. Because our main idea today is when we internalize God's gift, it supernaturally multiplies to others. So internalize means that we're going to take what we receive and put it into practice and embrace Jesus, whom we've received, and hold on to him. And then pass it on to others. That's how it supernaturally multiplies to others. And if we all passed on God's gift to others, imagine that. Imagine passing on God's gift, that each of us were passing on God's gift to others. Not for our glory, but so others can see Jesus' love and experience his grace and his truth and his peace. And that we would, with our light that God gives us, that we would shine in this dark world. And so that's my hope and prayer for each of us, is that we don't just take what we receive and don't just embrace whom we receive, but we also pass it on. pass on the good news of Jesus and the communion that we experience with him and together in unity. Before we close today, I encourage you just to write down a practice that you could practice this week. My hope is that you'll have some kind of application that's personal from God. And if you don't have one in mind, just take a minute to ask the Holy Spirit for his leading. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you give us your gift and that we can receive you. God, I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior that died on the cross for their sins, Jesus, I pray that you would draw them to you. And Jesus, I pray for others that maybe are weary or worn out or tired, God, that they would just be able to embrace you and hold on to you so that no one could deceive them. And maybe some of us here needed to just slow down and take what we received and put it into practice. And God, I do pray that we would be a church that celebrates you and that doesn't just hold on to you for ourselves, but we would experience you and your love for this community and for this world, and that others would be drawn to you, Jesus, as they see the hope that we have in us. And Jesus, we love you, and we just ask you to give us wisdom and strength and joy. And thank you that we can celebrate communion together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So at this time we're going to be taking